Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to What Culture Football News. It's the new show about football presented to you by What Culture, and specifically myself and the ever-radiant, it's Adam Nicholas. Hello, welcome to Monday. It's not as bad as you think it's going to be. Coming up for you today, we have several Premier League-based stories, including, my God, is this going to be the most open top six ever?
Not only that, though, but Man City absolutely thrash Watford.
Chelsea appear to have turned a corner, as I correctly predicted.
You did. And is there a crisis at Everton?
But coming up for you first, this is the news for football, football news or whatever. Coming up for you first,
football crazy, mad.
We'll present the news. It'll be quite rad. Anyway, crisis at Manchester United. You may have seen this clip doing the rounds on social media over the weekend. There appeared to be a little exchange between Ed Woodward, who, if you take all the D's out of his name, is Ewa-Wuwa, and Phil Jones, who, if you let him speak freely into a camera, just says Ewa-Wuwa. What appears to happen in this clip, according to the internet, and we'll get to the heart of this matter in just a moment, is that Phil Jones appears to join in with a West Ham chant of sacked in the morning, to which Ed Woodward snaps round and goes, oi, we're on camera, pack that in, or stop, or something to that effect. And everybody's like, oh my God, this is really funny, it's Man United, they're doing this, they're doing that. And everybody has, I think, effectively willed this into being true.
Yes.
However,
no,
it might not be true. As funny as it is, and as high banter as it is, and how much we do wish stuff like this was right, a couple of diligent reporters have gone and got, because the thing that this came from was somebody videoing their TV with their camera phone, which basically cropped the side of the frame. So someone's actually gone through the Sky Sports footage and looked at the whole frame, and Woodward looks as if he's talking to a female executive of the club or some member of the backroom staff rather than Jones. He's making direct eye contact with her. You can't really see that in the clip. Now, that's a shame. Now, look, I've sat at the match before and I've turned around to talk to somebody, and if they're right behind you, you can't get them, can you?
It's tough, isn't it? Because they're like,
so you're sort of there. So I will say I rate this 50-50 whether or not he's telling Phil Jones to say that, and then 50-50 whether or not Phil Jones did say sacked in the morning. So by my maths, that's 25% probable that Phil Jones said that and Ed Woodward told him off, which is, I mean, look, if I give them a 25% chance of finishing the top four, I'm sure they'd take it. So it's kind of the probability we might want to go with. Either way, that shouldn't be the takeaway story from that match, because Man United were comprehensively beaten by West Ham. It was not close. It was not close at all. Man United is something like, I think, 8 months without an away win in the Premier League. Next up, Steve Bruce's Newcastle United at St James's Park, I might add. So this is bad. Yarmolenko put West Ham ahead in the first half. And I've got to say, Man United didn't really look like equalising until Cresswell just ended the game with a few minutes to go with that absolutely salacious free kick.
They just can't seem to get going, can they, United? They just can't get that. And it's frustrating because this was probably going to be an unpopular opinion. I like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I kind of
want to see him do well there. And it's frustrating to see that he looks really frustrated.
Like, he looked furious with him in that press conference.
I think it was Roy Keane was saying, like, he's fuming. He could tell he was fuming. It must be infuriating because you look at the team. It's not exactly like it's a terrible team, is it?
It's not. We'll get back to Chelsea in a minute. The point I made about this Man United side is take the Man United badge off them and let's say that's your Wolves side.
Yes.
Or that's your Everton side. Or that's your... So any side with aspirations to finish in the top half. You look at that squad, you'd think, hey, I tell you what, they've got a real chance this year.
Good chance.
Good young players. It's probably the most likeable Man United side I can ever remember. Likeable manager, really good young talent throughout the squad. They've got some really talented players in there, but for whatever reason, it's just not clicking. They've had a really slow start to this season. Although, up until the West Ham game, they had been quite tight defensively, just weren't scoring a whole lot of goals. And now, you worry for them. I mean, I've seen people saying they might struggle to finish in the top half. I think that's a bit getting carried away. I think they'll still probably be one of the top six sides, but genuinely, they're going to have a long old season at this race, I think.
Well, there's no such problems in Manchester if you're a Man City fan.
Not this week.
Not this week, anyway, because obviously last week we saw that they were unfortunately beaten 3-2 by Norwich. A fantastic performance from them, and in fairness, actually played City at their own game and beat them. So there was no, it wasn't a fluke. It was well deserved. However, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And I don't even think that's true, because this isn't equal. This is completely blowing another team out of the water and then some. I saw, actually, a wrestler tweet saying Watford should have just unplugged the console after 3-0 and thrown the controller away, because Man City beat Watford this weekend by 8-0, and it was 5-0 within the first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
first 20 minutes.
Two things. One, I will say, I was reading the live text coming in from this, and Otamendi got the fifth at about 21 minutes or something, and it said Nicolas Otamendi gets in on the act, which is normally a football expression reserved for somebody scoring in the last 10 minutes of a 4-0. That must be the earliest gets in on the act in footballing history.
5-0.
Genuinely, we said, one of two things is going to happen here. Either City are going to have a proper wobble off the back of that Norwich game, and they'll labour to like a 1 or 2-0. I said, if you're a Man City fan, you want just a professional performance, a boring 2-0, get the 3 points, forget about Norwich and that. I was like, oh, so I'll check the score here. It's only I've only missed 10 minutes of the early kickoffs.
Yep.
Oh, it's 3-0. All right. Okay, well, I think that's a...
Imagine the fury if you have Raheem Sterling in your fantasy football
Or if you captained
team,
him. If you captained him, for example.
Or if you captained him, for example. Double pin. And he's not even on the score sheet. Never mind in the... on the match in an 8-0 win. But what I will say here is, great weekend to beat Bernardo Silva. Hat-trick for him. Aye. Fantastic. And Man City's performance, and Kevin De Bruyne as well, I think we should point out, is
genuinely
just,
I think he might be back to being the best player in the league.
Back to being the absolute best. I'm pleased he got a goal at the end, because he deserved it. If you're a fan of football, whether you like the fact that they've got all this money or not, exceptional.
Amazing to watch. And I will say, hearts go out once again to the fans of Ipswich Town. They must have thought this was the week. They must have seen that 5-0 inside half an hour and thought, the 9-0's going.
It's going.
The 9-0's going. Finally, it's going.
But it was a new record for Man City, their highest win in the Premier League. 8-0, beating the previous of 7.
I will say, we should mention Watford here, because I said on the weekend predictions, I think this will not be the week it all turns around, but I think they're getting back to being a reasonable side, getting that new manager bounce. I don't think they're going to be bottom of the league coming into the season, but now, minus 14 goal difference, another defeat. They're looking cut adrift. It's only 6 or 7 games in, but they're looking cut adrift. They need to turn this round quickly now.
Man City could do this to quite a lot of teams in the league when they turn up. The problem is they have done it to Watford. Aye. And Watford have got that psychological thing to get over, because remember when Arsenal were humped like 8-2 by Man United back in the day? That kind of massive knock-on effect on the rest of their season. I'm not sure you come back from this very quickly. But there's always another week, as Man City have proved themselves.
One team that do look to have the shoots of recovery coming in are Chelsea. Now, yes, they were beaten again. They are still, I've written this down, they are still bottom half of the table, still yet to win at home under Lampard in all competitions, still yet to get a clean sheet, negative goal difference, and beaten this weekend. The only teams conceding more than them are Watford and Norwich, and yet, Super Frank Lampard rang out around Stamford Bridge at full time. And why is that? Because they look like they finally turned a corner. They should, by right, have gotten something from that Liverpool game. Frank Lampard thinks they should have beat them. I think most Chelsea fans would agree. They could have deserved a point, at least. They could have gone on to win it.
I found myself absolutely wanting them to win.
So did
match.
I.
Really did.
Even the resident Liverpool fan in the office, Ewan, says he was, you know, hoping against hope, clinging on. Had resigned himself to not winning that game at stages. They look finally like this young side he has assembled. They're hungry. They've got goals in them. Kante's back in the side, so they look so much more solid. They had, and I wrote this down as well, twice as many chances at Liverpool. More possession, more passes, completed more passes, won more tackles. The only stat Liverpool led them on was that
the most important one.
Was goal scoring, unfortunately. Indeed. Not much you can do about that. That does tend to lose you some games. But Chelsea play like they played against Liverpool, arguably the most difficult side to play against in the Premier League at present, and they will get in that top four. And I've said since the start of the season, I think there's a really good side in there. You've got, look at them, Emerson, Academy, been out on loan, Tomori, Christensen, Abraham, Mount, Zuma, all of them involved. I know they've got the transfer ban, not really too much you can do about it, but they are in, they are playing really well, they're pulling in the right direction. Lampard looks like he's getting something out of that side. They've got Pulisic to introduce, Kante's just come back. Two lapses in concentration. That's all it was costing them against
both
Liverpool.
Both set pieces as well. And it's maybe something that they need to work on because it happened to them, I think it was early in the week.
There's now you can do about that. Trent Alexander on goal. There's now you can do about that.
Look, they're just... They're one of the best teams in the world. Sometimes this is going to happen.
Best team in Europe, reigning champions.
Absolutely fantastic. But Chelsea, the good thing about Chelsea for me is that the amount of emphasis on the youth this year, I think this transfer ban might actually
be a blessing in disguise.
The best thing that ever happened to them because they've needed this, where a manager's just given a chance and there's not going to be so much pressure on them because they haven't spent tons of money. Yes, Abramovich might still get bored and he might still end up sacking them. Who knows? But I think Frank Lampard has got the fans on his side. He should hopefully have the chairman on his side. And the fact that he's bringing all these players through, especially the English ones, can only be good for the nation too.
When you compare them to what's going on at Man United, similar situations, although Manchester United is sort of more sort of a financial restriction. Yes. They've kind of brought on themselves,
and
by the way, they've spent
ethos,
money.
Yeah.
And Chelsea, the two sides, both want to bring young players forward, both with a very popular manager at the helm. Man United just don't quite look like it's going to click for them anytime soon, whereas Chelsea, even when they've not been getting results, genuinely, so I go back to the Super Cup game against Liverpool.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
wiped the floor with Liverpool really in good. That, and again, didn't get the result. But it looks like it's coming for Chelsea. A few good wins, and they're within touching distance. Yeah. And the sides have not been cut adrift, so that's good. That's good. And as for Liverpool, they continue to win. Not really much more we can say about that until there's a blip.
However, on the other side of the Mersey is things are not going.
You've done this quite well, is it?
They're not going very well for their pals who are in the blue. Everton, because the question we posed at the beginning of this video is there a crisis at Everton? Now, we've said that about quite a few teams over the course, because obviously, get them clicks, but also because teams have not been quite performing as you would imagine. Everton, if you'd looked at Everton's first six fixtures on paper, you would have said this is as good of a chance as ever for them to get six positive results.
Yes, sir. I based my entire fantasy league pick at the start of the season around Everton having a really good run.
Thank you
very much for one goal, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Well, this is it.
Much appreciated.
This is it. I think we might have mentioned it on a podcast at the start. That was them, and I think it was
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth and maybe even Crystal Palace as well, who had decent enough runs, if I'm not mistaken. And you would think they could have strung maybe six results, a couple of draws, a couple of wins. Everton, it just hasn't quite happened for them.
They've got,
as in their last six games, they have three defeats, two wins, and one draw. Just run them down.
But look at the defeats, isn't it?
They've got a draw with Crystal Palace. They've had a win over Watford, who admittedly haven't had a great start. Villa beat them 2-0.
Not good.
They won against Wolves. Again,
good
Wolves,
result.
Also a team who have been a bit struggling this
coming
year.
Coming off the back of Europe.
Bournemouth, they lost 3-1-2. And Sheffield United, just this weekend, at home, they lost 2-0. This is not good viewing if you're an Everton fan, especially when you're seeing what your neighbours are doing elsewhere. Obviously, they're not quite up to that level, but you would have looked at this Everton team at the start of the season, the people they've brought in.
Aye.
Some of the signings they've made have been excellent, and you wonder, could they have possibly been back to the Everton we've known who are flirting around with the top six, perhaps?
There's your Mopeth showing through.
Flirting Mopeth.
Everton looked like all the pieces were clicking into place because, obviously, you come in, your man Silva come in at the start, midway through last season, looked like he was putting a really good side together. They were getting clean sheets after clean sheets. I think after they were the second best defence in the Premier League over in 2019.
Great structure.
After Man City, they'd spent all the money, good attacking players in there, really good start of the season, so they get a lot of points on the board straight away. It looked like all the pieces were coming into place, and yet this is the start was good, but they've sputtered and they've stuttered, and that result to Sheffield United at home, you've got to be asking questions about that.
Is there a symptomatic thing with Everton? Because I always feel like this is trademark, even during the Moyes days, where the first half of the season would be them trying to get into gear. They'd always try to find themselves at that form that they should arguably
slow
have.
Slow starters.
And then the second half of the season, they end up playing really well and getting loads of results. And this year, you thought maybe with those six fixtures, they could possibly have gotten maybe four wins out of those matches, at a push.
The most worrying thing for Everton fans for me would be you don't even know, you've not been tested yet, really.
No.
You've not played a side
around
about your level to know exactly where you are. The Wolves game, yes, you looked at that as a battle of the top six, but Wolves were playing in Europe this season, not spending a load of money in the summer. Mm-hmm. They've clearly accepted that they want to focus on having a nice big European season. They're probably going to slide down the league as a result. They're yet to get like a couple of big results. I don't think Wolves are going to trouble the top six. Mm. Everton are yet to play like a side in and around them. It's you don't know where you are.
Or any of the big sides, which you really you know, you put that Everton performance against Sheffield up against Man City, looking at an 8-0.
I think they've got Man City coming up, which to be fair, the side they've got and how good they are, it wouldn't surprise me if they go off the back of the Sheffield United defeat and then trouble a Man City.
Well, they are a team who could turn up against the Liverpool, obviously because of the derby, or against the Man City and probably give them a difficult time because they rise to the challenge, but then they play these lower league
teams.
Position teams, and doesn't really work for them.
Either way, the top six is going to be interesting this year. And I've just realized I forgot to finish my notes for this. I've just got as far as Leicester beat there, so we'll just have to freewheel it. The top six looked like being one of the most hotly predicted elements of the season this year. Of course, you've got the regulation top four. You've got Liverpool, Man City. I think everybody wrote them off as
the top
two. I'm
interested. Who's your regulation top four?
Them two, Spurs, and another side. I think everybody wrote them two off as the top two. Then most people probably still had Spurs in second, but then you had Chelsea, you had Man United, you had Arsenal. All these sides want to be... You've got six sides want to be in the top four, so it's never going to work. But then, on top of that, Leicester look like they finally got their act together, spent really well. West Ham look like it's all clicking into gear. They've spent really well. Everton look like they're clicking into position. Then there's always going to be a wild card side, someone who comes up out of nowhere. So you've got, nine sides, effectively, who are vying for that top six. And so far this season, it has been so densely packed together. Pretty much every single side, with the exception of Everton, who I might add, have had bad results, but were only 1 or 2 points away at the start of this game week. Everybody was packed in together, and Leicester have beaten Spurs to put themselves in third
place.
Not many people would have... Everybody predicted Leicester would do quite well this season. I don't know if anybody had them in third this early on, especially after beating Spurs. Now, VAR is VAR. I know people made a big song and dance about it,
yes,
but
it is.
It's gone now. The result is what it is. They beat Spurs, and you have to say... They probably deserved it on the balance of play. Two late goals did it for them after Harry Kane scored my classic goal of five aside. Where you're already on your way down, you somehow managed to just get a toe on it. I would challenge anybody to successfully predict the top four and the top six right now.
It's not easy reading by any means. Maybe the top two, you could probably argue.
I think we're still settled on the top two.
I think we're fair with that. But honestly, it's exciting. It's the first time in about maybe 5 years that I've genuinely really, really been interested in what's going on in the Premier League. Yes, things aren't quite working out for Newcastle, but what's new there? At least this year, it seems that there's a bit more interest. Obviously, will that be the case halfway through the season? We don't know. But as it stands, we all said at the start of the season, we thought Leicester had bought really well, and it's nice to see that unit seems to be clicking together. And you could argue that some of the signings haven't even yet properly gotten the best
strike. I agree with that.
I want to ask you about VAR.
Come on.
Because although I feel like it is, Martin Taylor said, it's taken more away at the moment than it is actually given. I'm not sure I completely agree with that, but what I would say is, he's saying it's taking goals away, but actually, I feel like it's wobbling the balance and we're getting these closer games, which I don't know.
It's an interesting one because that millimetre offside, is ridiculous.
That Chelsea one.
The Chelsea one.
Mason Mount's toe.
Aye. But they're not incorrect decisions, incorrect decisions. Now, I know...
I don't think it's VAR. I think
it's your side system,
VAR is fine. The actual rules.
There was a handball one early in the season. It's not VAR. This is the rule. I would say maybe the offside law needs to be relaxed slightly because if he is a millimetre offside, then he's a millimetre offside. If VAR can pick that up, then VAR should pick that up.
But what element you want to get
The idea behind it was supposed to come in to overrule obvious refereeing errors. Yeah. And even though a millimetre offside is offside, if you watch that back on the replay, you wouldn't say it's an obvious error because there's an element.
They've
got to work out what that margin is because if you start saying, well, don't overrule that because that's an easy one to make, then where does it start?
And that's it. And well, Martin Taylor, again, on commentary, was like, well, if you go 51 miles an hour and a 50 mile an hour speed limit, then you should be punished technically by the law. But you don't because there's a leeway, which I guess they've got to figure that out. And it's always something that was going to happen this season. We're going to be talking about VAR literally all season. It's going to cost some of us in more ways than one, I'm sure.
One thing I want to do as an editorial at some point is the psychological impact of it, because you score a goal, right, and everyone's celebrating, that's you up, and you start, let's say you're 1-0 down, right, take the Chelsea result, for example, say you're 1-0 down, you get that equaliser, straight away you're like, right, we can go on and win this. Everybody gets G'd up, right, you get the ball back to the centre circle, the other team are like, oh God, we're going to have a bit of a wobble here. Everybody starts waiting, the mood drops, VAR overrules a goal. Psychologically, for the other side, that's like scoring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For opposition fans, you see the way teams celebrate getting a goal disallowed.
Well, they go mad, don't they?
It's a psychological benefit. That's effectively like they've just gone straight up the other end and scored a goal. So straight away, the psychological impact is now with the side who a minute ago had conceded a goal.
What, on the way there?
Which is something that never, ever happened
Literally,
before.
Liverpool went and scored about however many seconds it was after.
I think genuinely there's a big, almost to the point where it's good for you to concede a goal and have it ruled out because the lift it brings you from that, the emphasis, we've got away with this, we've got off the hook, come on, we can't. It's a big wake-up call.
Interesting to see how much it changes over the years in terms of celebrations, in terms of people's reactions, because are we eventually going to get to the point where a goal goes in and everyone just goes...
See, I'm boring, mate. Whenever Newcastle score a goal, my first thing to do is look at the linesman. Tick in my head, I've been burned so many times. My first thing is like, quickly look at the linesman, quickly look at the referee, see if anything's happening. If not, then I let myself go a bit. Now it's going to be like, oh, it's in.
It's going to be the wait, isn't it? We shall see.
Get in!
We've already gone way too long.
I know, way too long on this. So thank you very much for sitting through it all for us. We have been What Culture Football. This has been Adam Nicholas. Where can they get you on Twitter?
They can get me on Twitter at It's Adam Nicholas. And this has been Adam Cleary. You can get him on Twitter
at Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y. And get the whole What Culture Football family at What Culture FC. Send us your questions. We didn't have any, although it's probably for the best given the runtime. In the meantime, though, thank you all so much for watching. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And we will see you soon.
Promise.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.